Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. You can catch all of our show notes and more information about each episode at geekson.com. All right, welcome everybody to Geeks On. Welcome, geeks.
Yay!
Whee!
Did you miss us?
Yay. Again, I would like to introduce myself, and we'll go around the room in case people don't know who the geeks are. My name is Aaron Hendricks. And I am a filmmaker and graphic designer in Los Angeles.
My name is Pete Robinson, and I am a writer in Los Angeles.
My name is Donald Marshall. I am a video game professional and writer in Hollywood.
And my name is Matt King, and I am an actor geek.
That's it?
That's all I'm saying this week. I'm done.
Okay. Before we start getting into the discussion, I think we should do some geek news. Don, why don't you start with one of your geek news stories?
One of my geek news stories. Okay. First off, from the world of video games, games are getting a new video game rating. The E10 Plus rating is being introduced in the near future to recommend video games appropriate to 10-year-olds to 14-year-olds. As I believe there's already an E to 14 plus. Is that right?
I have no clue.
Well, to me, this makes sense. To me, this makes very good sense because what's appropriate for a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old are very different. So
okay. It doesn't seem to be that different for people watching movies.
Well, you have PG and you have PG-13.
The thing is, with video games, like the language that I've heard these 14-year-olds using on Halo 2 is unbelievable.
Anyone who's used Xbox Live knows. Yeah, children need a different rating.
It's...
Yeah, but then that means everything that's on that's live would get an M rating. I mean, if you're going to get on live...
There is a specific rating if it's an online game so that says game content may change. It's a warning to the parent.
Okay. Yeah, the ESRB.
I agree. I think the game warnings are great. I just think that parents right now are really worked up about video games. And so
They're worked up about everything. But
I think parents need to play video games. If the parents sat down and played the video games with their kids for 10 minutes, they would know what video game... What the video game's about.
Yeah, like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
I'd
pay money to watch my parents play Grand Theft Auto.
I saw an article where the mother was pissed that, you know, these game ratings just weren't working. And because her kids told her that M meant mild.
Oh, my God.
Now, it says...
See, no. That's commentary on mom's idiocy.
Right, exactly. She's not reading it because M... has mature underneath it says it on there, so she's just not even looking anymore. She's not being a parent.
Yeah, so come on. I mean, we can blame it all
across the board, though. I'm really tired of hearing all these parents groups saying, what about our children? Who's protecting our children? Isn't that your job?
All right, what's the next news story?
Okay, Matt King with the next news story. I don't know whether or not this is old or new, but it was new to me, so you get to hear it. Gary Gygax, is that how you pronounce his name? I feel like
I think he's related to Sade, so it's like Gary Gygax. Giga.
Right.
Giga.
He has come out with a new RPG. I don't even know how to say the words anymore. It's called Legendary Adventures, and you can go to the website at www.legendary.com, and it's Legendary with a J. And it seems like it's a new generic role-playing system, kind of like GURPS. It works on a 100-point system. It seems a little clunky right now, but it's got some really, really neat worlds, and it seems a little bit D&D-ish, and they're doing, like, Los Angeles modules, and
it's a catch-all. You can play any genre with it.
Absolutely.
So now we have the hero system, the D20 system, GURPS, and now... What is it?
And Legendary Adventures.
Legendary Heroes.
Legendary Adventures.
Oh, Legendary
Adventures. I'm curious which will eat it first, the D20 system or the GURPS system? Which will devour all of the smaller fish?
D20 is supported by Hasbro, or Hasborg, if I'm being a nerd. So,
and they are also,
your game will be assimilated. Yeah.
They're open source. In other words, that anybody can write a D20 module
right,
for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is the smartest thing in the entire world.
Well, but the problem with that is it means that there's no real quality control. I mean, you can pick up a D20 book and it can just blow. The great thing about, you know, I'm a big GURPS fan, as you guys know. The quality control on GURPS products, I think, is pretty high.
Right. But, see, I think the quality control in terms of the content of GURPS products is pretty high. But a lot of the time, the sort of delivery system has been like...
It's a chunky game.
Exactly.
How do you mean the delivery system?
Well, in terms of like Palladium games is one of the most uncomfortable systems in the world.
I hate that system so much.
It's impossible.
But you look at the way it's delivered, the artwork, the format, the packaging.
But have you seen the new GURPS? GURPS 4th edition came out like 3 months ago.
Yeah, isn't it shiny and glossy and new and beautiful?
Full color, everything.
I think White Wolf kicks all of their butts. I'm sorry. The vampire books, the werewolf books, all of them are gorgeous. Gorgeous.
All right, I'm going to move on.
All right, put down the glass of blood and let's go.
Yeah.
But it's warm.
My news story, the first one is, this is one of those, what the hell? Howard Shore, who was, of course, the composer for Lord of the Rings and Aviator and a million other things.
Cool.
He is writing an opera with David Henry Wong to do an opera based off of...
Agent Network.
Based off of The Fly. Yeah. So it's an opera based off of David Cronenberg's The Fly. It's going to premiere here in Los Angeles in 2007.
I'm sorry, is the last song called Help Me?
Help me. Help me. I have no clue. There's not much to discuss about this. It was just so weird
meat.
I had to bring
it
up.
Rotten meat.
Actually, I want to add something to that one, which is the Sci-Fi Channel.
What's happening?
Sci-Fi.
The buzz. What's the buzz? Oh God, what's Matt. Happening?
That one's good. Apologies to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
The Sci-Fi Channel is actually doing a sort of The Fly knockoff called Mansquito.
Oh, I saw the trailer for that.
Mansquito.
Oh, come on. That sounds like something that they would make fun of on Seinfeld, you know?
Oh.
Like, you know, like Manhands or The Bro.
Oh, man, the trailer is great. It's like, first they brought you yellow fever, then it was smallpox. Yeah, it's...
now it's Mansquito. He just wants to put it in.
Whoa. Oh, no. Okay. All right, Peter. What's all
right over the line?
What's the rating of this show? Okay. So what I brought in this time is something that Aaron brought up to me a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned the campaign they had for Halo 2. And the campaign they had for Halo 2, when you're watching...
I'm sorry, do you mean campaign adventure?
No, the ilovebees.com.
Oh, right. In other words, when you were watching the trailer in the movie theaters... it would say www.halo2.com, and for a brief second, though, it would just flash, and it would say www.ilovebees.com.
Right.
And this is a new form of sort of guerrilla marketing.
Right. Viral advertisement.
Exactly. And
yeah,
so
it's pretty cool.
Buzzword.
There's a new one that was in the news today for something called Perplex City, okay? And it's www.perplexcity.com. And basically, newspapers around the world have started with having these cryptic notices in their notices section that say basically, lost the cube. Reward offered, not only an object of great significance to the city, but also a technological wonder. And basically, what it is there's this whole campaign actually even started before that with these postcards that went out to just all over the world randomly. And the postcards had clues hidden in them. For example, people really quickly realized that the lit windows of a building translated to "Hello World" in binary code. The stamp was an electronically readable barcode translating to www.perplexcity.com. So what they're doing is they're really developing into these really bizarre, almost Da Vinci Code type of mysteries that people have to figure out.
Do we know what it's for yet? Or is this now the mystery that we're trying to figure out what it's linked to? Like, I Love Bees and Halo, they weren't linked until people were trying to figure out what the connection was.
What right. was the connection with Halo and I Love Bees?
I'm not
I missed
absolutely
that entirely.
There was.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I missed
oh,
this
it
entirely.
Was cool.
Right over my head. I have no idea.
Yeah, they had you. After a while, it was a website that looked like a regular, like a bee.
Yeah, it was a woman who was a beekeeper, and it was like, I love bees. Bees are great. When I'm down, and then it would, like, distort. And
yeah,
like,
the website looks like it gets hacked, and then as it goes on, you find out it's being hacked by some AI from the future that a ship had crashed and somehow went through time and was sending its transmissions through time.
Oh, fun.
And it started downloading after this crazy campaign where it would phone call pay phones around the world, and if you picked it up and got a code, it would download an audio file about these people from the future that you figure out somehow linked to the storyline of Halo. So anyway. But we don't know what they're advertising for this yet.
Well, I'm gonna take a guess, okay? You know, I think it's going to be something called the Cube. They don't say specifically here. They're not linking it, but they're not saying because what
like
they do
the
is
sci-fi movie, The Cube.
I don't think so.
The Cube 3.
No.
I can suck more.
Cube 3. The apology.
Yeah, the article wasn't really clear because what the problem is that they have typically with these things they have two different names for things. They have the name of the product that it's going to be linked to, like Halo 2, and then they have the name of the campaign, like right. I Love Bees. You know, is the name of the campaign. In this case, the name of the campaign is Perplexity. But they keep. But the references are to this thing called the Cube, and that. I mean, my guess would be that would be what the what it's called. And as far
problem
as people,
is nobody can say Perplexity,
right?
Say Perplexity.
I'm trying.
Hey, have you played Perplexity? Wait.
Hang on a second.
Maybe we can have those. No,
have you played the Cube?
Tune characters we talked about last week have the Sylvester the Cat try and say.
Yeah, you know it's going to be PC.
But basically, as far as people know, this is a story that revolves around the theft of an artifact called the Cube from a civilization that may or may not exist in a parallel dimension to ours, and may or may not have been studying and visiting ours. So let me say that. I mean, it sounds interesting.
So how do you know how long this was? I mean, are we catching the beginning of this? Can we go in and start playing?
It's going till March 21st.
It's a video game.
Well, it's an internet puzzle.
It's a Da Vinci Code. You know, like in the book, The Da Vinci Code, they find these series of clues, and they're really like intellectual puzzlers. And you have to really solve them.
You're like, no.
That was the lamest puzzle in that book. Every one of those puzzles were lame.
Oh my god, it's written backwards. I can't believe they wrote this clue backwards.
Okay. Well, for the general audience out there, they were what they consider to be intellectual puzzles.
They wrote a clue backwards. Let me reiterate.
Okay.
Backwards.
I'm wrong, and I should have my hands and tongue cut out of anyway. No, but
take him to the wall.
In this case, it's a little harder. In this case, it's a little more complex. I mean, you know, binary code is is definitely tougher. You know, these things can range from the I Love Bees thing. I mean, it wasn't really a puzzle. What it was a list of different. The way the I Love Bees campaign worked was they had a bunch of different phone numbers for payphones. And times. And if you went to that phone at that time, there would be a phone call from one of the characters in the game, and you could get information about this other storyline that was going on. Okay? So it wasn't so much a puzzle as, you know, a treasure hunt. You had to be certain places at different times. Now, in the case of this, of what we're looking at here, the Perplexity, this is more of a puzzler. You have to figure things out. You have to uncover what different things mean. So anyway, this is going to be really interesting to see how this translates to campaigns in the future, because obviously what you do get is you get this incredible word-of-mouth campaign on the internet where people are trying to talk about things.
All right. Does anybody have any, like, quick news? We're kind of running out of time here on news.
Sure.
Anybody, like, small things they want to just bring up?
Doctor Who series canceled on Sci-Fi. They're not interested. Sci-Fi says it's just not that interesting.
And this is the British show.
This is the BBC Doctor Who series. Sci-Fi shoots it down, but BBC will be airing it soon, and the advertising campaign for it begins today in England. So we'll see how that goes.
Microsoft has just come out with a new robot Teddy, which basically will sit around your house. It has facial recognition software, so it can follow your child around the house and sort of track it as it goes. And then it has a very specific phone in it so you can yell at your child from a distance, you know.
Yeah. The weird thing is the tag on that says Skynet, which kind of bothered me a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Teddy loves Billy. Billy should kill Mommy and Daddy.
The only quick one I have is that the Mech Warrior WizKid clickable game, yeah. You know, the
HeroClix.
HeroClix for Mech Warrior. They came out with a new, like, series that has a new rules, which scared me at first because I had bought a whole bunch of them on the cheap, the older ones, and was worried that you couldn't play with these new rule set, but it's completely compatible. They say that if you use the new miniatures and the old miniatures with the new rules, that it's totally compatible, so everybody can...
But if you use the new miniatures with the old rules, it doesn't work, or the old ones
with the new ones.
Moving on. Okay, one last quick thing from me.
Okay.
For all you people who've been predicting the PS3 is going to kick the crap out of the Xbox 2, a little bit of news. Xbox has signed up the video game legend who created the Final Fantasy line to make two games for their new console. Which means all you PS3 people who are buying it just for your Final Fantasy fix, you may be missing out.
You'll still get some Final Fantasy, but it may just be some...
Yeah, but
it may be somebody else's fantasy.
Yeah, right. It's not the real Final
Fantasy. When is the Final Fantasy, it's anyway? Not the We've had final. A lot of Final Fantasies,
I mean,
at this point.
It might be my fantasy.
That'll be the next to last fantasy.
The penultimate fantasy. It doesn't ring as well.
No.
All right. Let's move on to our discussions this week. The first one I want to bring up is about comic books and their translation into movies and video games. Are there problems with this situation?
I think you loaded the question, Jeff Gannon.
What we here at Talon News believe... perhaps we should not go the political route.
I believe that there's a problem translating... Well, there seems to be a problem translating comic books into movies and into video games. In general, to me, when I go see a comic book movie, it sucks. And in general, when I play a comic book video game, it sucks. So what's the problem?
Well, first of all, let's actually talk about what sucks and what doesn't suck. I mean...
Right. I liked Batman, even though...
I didn't like any of the Batman movies.
Oh, even the first one.
No.
Okay, because see, I like the first two.
I like the first one.
Yeah, first two.
The first one is not a Batman movie. The first one is The Joker. And the second one is Catwoman. Okay. And the third one is Riddler. You could swap
you
out Batman
out,
and
you
no
have
one
to
cares.
Point out one thing about Batman, though. Batman is stoic. Stoic people are only so interesting to watch for so long.
That's not true.
Oh.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yes, he is.
He can be stoic, but he can still be interesting.
So you're saying the problem with the inherent problem with Batman movies is that you swap out Batman and it doesn't matter?
No, my inherent problem is I just thought it was a boring movie.
Oh.
I don't want a Batman who, like, well, in the first one, I didn't like Batman because he didn't seem like a Batman to me. It was supposed to be this dark, gritty, blah, blah, which I didn't think it was. And, you know, and I didn't like he couldn't move in his costume. I mean, he couldn't even turn his head.
Well, that's like because Michael Keaton had a gut and they had to, like, squeeze him into it so he actually looked like he had abs. Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, you know, it's interesting because the way you phrase this whole thing is what is the problem with comic book movies? All of them.
No, in you know, general. Because, in general, like, I love, again, my geeky pick last year was Spider-Man 2. Love the movie.
Right. Because, see, I mean, I think that...
X-Men liked it.
I liked both X-Men movies.
I loved both X-Men movies.
You know?
Didn't like them.
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know...
So what's my problem?
What is Eric's problem?
Right.
Okay, no, I mean, there is a valid point here. For every X-Men, for every Spider-Man, for every Batman...
There is a
Batman 4.
There is
an Elektra.
Four.
There is a Daredevil.
Yeah.
All right.
Or a Catwoman.
Well, the thing is,
Superman 4.
Daredevil. The whole Catwoman.
No, Superman 4 was horrific.
Did you see Superman 3? Richard Pryor.
See, but I
was four,
still
wasn't it?
No. Superman 3 was the one with, like,
well,
yellow,
you know,
kryptonite.
I still think Supergirl was the penultimate movie. Okay, I can't even say it with a straight face. Never mind.
You're right. There, for every, like, you know, Spider-Man 2, there's 100 Superman 4s.
Right.
I mean, they're horrible.
Let's start with just the Batman movies, because this is a franchise. I know you didn't like the first two movies, but widely most people felt like the first two movies were pretty good, and then the last two were pretty awful. Okay.
I think mainstream America was kind of split on the third one.
I liked the third one. The third one to me was the best of all of them.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
You're not going to be able to hear the rest of the show because I'm about to cram it down Aaron's throat. His microphone right down his throat.
I'll tell you the reason why.
He breaks through a wall. Robin breaks through a wall. Mm-hmm. And it's in the shape of his body.
No, that's not. No, I'm not telling you it's a great movie. I didn't like any of the movies.
As soon as Robin showed up, it was gone for me. This whole sidekick thing is just...
To me, that movie had the best sense of drama through it.
Widely, I think it's perceived that the first two were pretty good, and then the last two were pretty bad.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, some of that's going to come from the directors, but some of that is also from the story.
Joel Schumacher,
even the good ones had their flaws. I'll admit that. Like, right. I love the second one. Rocket Penguins, not so much, but I love the second one.
Yeah.
The problem with those is there are too many bad guys. They should have picked one bad guy. Yeah, I just didn't get it.
The first one, I still have problems with the movies, but I still like them inherently as movies. Like, the Joker shouldn't die.
That is a problem. The Batman franchise, they keep killing off their people. Or casting Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, either way, it's just a bad...
But it doesn't matter. They're not going to do a fifth one with the Joker again. I mean, so why not kill him?
Well, yeah, but that's a thing. They could do a fifth one with the Joker.
The point is that the Joker is a serialized villain, just like Blofeld was a serialized villain in the James Bond series, and he came back a series of times. He came back to kill his wife. He came back so that James Bond could even just do a funny thing and dump Telly Savalas down a chimney stack.
But wouldn't you rather see a different villain each movie, or would you want to see the same villain every time?
I think you kind of want villain recognition, pardon the term.
In movies? You know? I mean, I can see that in comic books.
With the Batman franchise, they kept doing something strange. I mean, tell me if you disagree with this, but in the third movie, it's not the Riddler. It's the Riddler mixed with the Mad Hatter.
They changed it.
Yeah, in the second movie, it's not Penguin. It's Penguin mixed with Killer Croc.
Right.
And so they're not just killing off one character. They're killing off two characters at once with each one. Mm. At this point, who do we have left from the Batman villain franchise?
Poison Ivy.
That's right. They
brought Bane. Yeah,
they wasted Poison Ivy and
Scarecrow.
Bane.
Scarecrow's the only one left, and they're using Scarecrow in the next movie.
They set him up.
And they're using Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Is that how you say that?
You're right. Yeah. You're right. I stand corrected. There are some left.
Wait a minute.
They're about to be gone, though. All of them, except for... is it Mudface or Clayface?
Clayface.
You know,
he's my favorite.
He will not have been used.
Wait a minute. Batman has been going on for, like, 50 years, and they've used up all the villains in 3-4 movies? Are you kidding me? They've used up all the 10 movies.
All the major villains.
You've got the greats. Yeah, you've got the greats.
I'm waiting for Batman versus Harley Quinn. That's all I want.
Wasn't she invented purely for the cartoon series?
Yes, but she was introduced to the comic book series afterwards. Mm-hmm. So she was just so well loved.
Yeah.
So,
though, if any of you have seen Birds of Prey,
There's another. Are you guys saying that there really isn't a problem with video game movies?
Okay.
I mean, sorry.
What I would say the big problem is for most adaptations. Is that whoever gets their mitts on the video, the rights to the comic book character decides they know what's best, and tend to throw out the original things that make the story good, that make the character interesting, and rewrite the history, rewrite characters, and in some cases, like X-Men, it works, right? I mean, Rogue being made into a little girl instead of being the big voluptuous Southern Belle that she is in the comic books worked.
Because it gives us a focus to the event.
I think it's the opposite. I think what they do is they look at they think they have one chance to do a movie, and they try to jam what they think the fans are going to want, and they jam all this weird stuff that just doesn't seem to work. They don't cut to the chase. They don't have the confidence to say, you know what? I'm not going to put 5 bad guys in here.
Well, the thing is, basically you don't like origin stories.
I don't think they have to be in there. For example, if you're going to do a Spider-Man movie, just have him swing in. You know, you don't have to get them see bit the, every single
See, the
time.
Thing is, you know the history. General public doesn't necessarily know the history.
I bet you when we see the new superhero or Superman movie, we're going to have to see him come from damn Krypton again.
Oh, right.
Who the hell doesn't know this?
Please, bro.
But Superman's different. He's iconic, so...
But why do we have to see it? We have to see it in Smallville. We have to see it in...
But Spider-Man's not as iconic as Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe that's a bad example.
Right.
Like, with Batman... Did Batman have an origin story?
Yeah.
In Batman?
But is it...
Yeah.
Yeah, they but it's interesting.
To
they
his parent,
they
but,
did it.
But they
it was
did.
Very short.
Yeah, they didn't start off, though.
Yeah.
They did an unusual format. They didn't start off with a normal guy, and something happens to him, and he turns into a superhero.
Which
they started off with a superhero.
But what I'd say, went wrong with Batman, for me, is the movie makers started deciding that they knew better than the public what the public wanted. So they went from the formula of the first two movies of these very dark, dark, dark movies... to the third one that was kind of Vegas-y. Lots of neon everywhere.
That's
very
the problem
bright,
I had with
and that. Kept sliding steadily, more and more steadily towards a 60s campy Batman feel.
TV show.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like, who was it, Joel Schumacher that did the last one?
Yeah.
It was like he decided, oh, people miss Bam and Biff and Pow every time they hit someone. That worked so well 30 years ago. Of course it'll work well again.
See, the thing is, I mean, I think that inherently each one has something. Like, I just watched the old Batman movie. It's a great movie. Because it doesn't take itself seriously. It's just, it's a great movie. And what I listened to some of the commentary, and they actually made the movie before they made the series. They were gonna use it as a way to get people interested in the series, and then they found that they didn't have to.
You mean the 60s?
Yeah.
Oh, the 60s one.
We thought you were talking about the new one.
Right.
You mean the one where he's taking the bomb?
The bomb, and he's running around and everything like that. Sometimes you can't just get rid of a bomb. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, horrible. As a horrible movie.
Let me look.
Funny.
It's a different type of Batman.
Right, yeah, no, look, it just doesn't take itself seriously.
Let me just make a couple points about Batman and what happened to Batman. I mean, first, okay, when they approached Batman with the original two movies, they had a concept, which is Batman is a person with split personalities. And that's what they were approaching.
And that's cool.
And that was great. And that gave it some depth. That gave something to explore. Batman is a person who's very conflicted. Okay, and that's what I think that's one of the things that gave value to the first films. The first film was just Batman versus Joker, you know, real clear. He's got Vicki Vale as his love interest. Now the second one, replaced Vicki Vale with Catwoman. Okay, so it's still,
but they didn't really do anything with it. She didn't.
Well, but they still have the same dynamics. Okay, they have two villains. They've added two villains, but they've taken something away. They've taken away Vicki Vale, and Catwoman has taken that place. So it's not like you're jamming something else in there, okay? Now, by the third movie, though, they really started to have, like, everything. They had... Now they are starting to jam stuff in there.
That was a moneymaker. I mean, I think they were just trying to get their fingers in the pot.
Well, I mean, I think at this point what they started to do, and I think the mistake was they started to look at this movie instead of from... storytelling point of view, and let's tell a good story, they started to say, if we can put another villain in, we can sell another villain action figure.
Right.
You know?
The fourth one,
it was definitely like that. I mean, in the comic book, Bane is probably one of the more important historical characters.
Absolutely.
He wrote
and
Batman.
And he's brilliant.
And in the third one, he's a lackey.
Roid freak.
Yeah, right. He follows around Poison Ivy or something.
You
like
didn't
he's stalking her.
It was ridiculous.
He's a bouncer.
So
yeah, that's right.
Is that the one with the what's the one where he has the guy with Two-Face?
That's the third.
That's
Tommy Lee Jones.
The fourth one is the one where Uma Thurman puts on a gorilla outfit and does a striptease.
Ooh, I think I missed that one.
All of a sudden, everyone's calling Netflix.
Now, the third one should have been a great movie. Because
they dropped the director because the second one was considered too dark and too bloody and too nasty for everyone. Because it was Tim Burton again.
Did they drop the director or did
Tim
he
Burton.
Quit?
No.
I was under the impression he moved on too.
Really?
Yeah, I was under the impression that he said, I've made these movies twice and I'm done and they needed someone else. But who knows? We should look into that. But the third one should have been a great movie because you've got this great dynamic. You've got Batman who now has this kid that comes under his wing who's had the same thing happen to him that happened to Batman. He's had his parents killed. You know,
I think it's a great idea.
And ideally, it should be a really hard thing because Batman is someone... Bruce Wayne is someone who has trouble expressing emotions. He has trouble being soft. And now he has to take this person under his wing.
Right.
Now, that should be a great thing to explore. Okay, and I know that Don agrees.
I hate the Robin character so much.
You hate it in the comic books too?
I hate him in the comic books. I hate him. I don't hate him when he's away from Batman. It's when you try and take this kind of great gothic feeling character, this, you know, he is the Dark Knight, and then stick a kid in green shorts and a bright yellow cape next to him and turn him into Target the Boy hostage. It doesn't work. It dilutes and changes what is otherwise a mature-feeling genre.
See, the thing is, I like the idea of Robin as an apprentice. I just think nobody sort of treated Robin as an apprentice. I mean, the times that I've really loved the Robin character is when the dynamic between the dynamic duo has been rough. And it's like, yes, you took me under your wing. Yes, you taught me all these things. But
right.
I don't like you. I don't like what you do. And that's when it's been good.
Exactly. Yeah. And you are right, you know, that if Robin's this bouncing, you know, like ray of light or whatever it is, you know, in tights, you
bouncing
know,
ray of light.
You know, he's going to be annoying.
That was the Fantastic Four movie.
Yes, well, but what...
Flame on!
What I come back to with the Robin character in the third movie, just let me shove this in here real quick.
Yeah.
Is not him fighting, is not him doing anything. I remember him using kung fu to dry his socks in a scene.
My God, yeah, that's right.
That sums up Robin to me.
And I understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is that there was a potential, not what was done, you know, there was a potential to not have him be this sort of... If you treated him like Batman, if you treated him as this kid who's really upset, I mean... If in fact, you know, for example, in the movie, 5 minutes after his parents are dead, he's like, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. Like, oh, yeah, my parents died. So anyway, you know, but if it hadn't been that, if he had been a real kid who had his parents get killed, who was really dealing with it.
Holy Streets of the Morgue, Batman.
There you go, you know.
Well, that was Holy Rusted Grape. Do you remember that in the movie?
Holy Rusted
Grape. Holy
Metal.
Rusted Grape, Batman. What? There's a grate. It's holy and rusted. Oh.
Oh, God.
Come.
That was
a third movie.
Did they have
movie.
A writer on
that
movie?
That was a third movie. That's why I was like, come on.
So they had – the point is they had something to explore. Right. And they had a potential to have something with real emotional depth, and they glossed over and didn't have any emotional depth.
But wasn't that the inherent problem with the Catwoman movie and with a lot of them is that they're saying we want action, we want these specific things to go – bounce, 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 but we don't want character death?
I don't think so. I think that what made the first two Batman movies great was that there was character depth. You know,
saying the studios, not the public.
Well, I think the studios. Well, I know for sure on the Catwoman movie that the studios had a much better script than what they went with. I mean, I know someone who wrote that, and I read it, and it was great. And I know that the studios said, no, we don't want this. We want something lighter, funnier. You know, I don't care if there's characters. If it's light and funny, I can sell it. You know?
Let me get your opinion on this. This is kind of an observation I'm sort of still forming in my head. With the exception of the X-Men movies, what I've noticed is a lot of video game and comic book movies lately don't look for a story, don't look for a character. Which is strange because all of them are based on a successful character. They all seem to be pitching a mood. So, like,
that's a very interesting point.
Constantine, all right, that's one still playing in theaters based on a very successful comic book series.
Spider-Man's
Let me get back
good.
To Spider-Man. Spider-Man's very good.
Spider-Man's about
emphasis on character, emphasis on storyline, but also both of them pushed different moods over the course of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But let me pitch Constantine for a second.
Okay,
with Constantine. Every single character starts at one point and remains at that one point the entire movie, emotionally.
Right.
Even when, you know, they discover they have a disease, oh, they stay at the same point. Oh, they discover there was no disease, oh, they stay at the same point. No one moves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire movie is Keanu Reeves or the female star, I can't remember her name.
Rachel Weisz,
portraying one tone, which
Love
is
you.
Tough, right?
Right.
And that was the theme of the movie.
Right.
Tough people being tough. Every move, every word out of Keanu Reeves was him trying to be tough, not trying to convey a character.
Mm.
And I think that's, I personally think that's becoming a common theme. Hmm. I saw that in Resident Evil. I saw that in Catwoman. I saw that in Daredevil. Daredevil was angst.
See, the thing
is, I am pained.
Right. I read the Daredevil script. It's fantastic. It is, the way it was on paper was fantastic. I read it. It reads so quick. I finished it. I was like, it was great.
I didn't see all of it, but the scene where he meets her and they spar and flirt at the same time, Redwell.
That is so exactly the way it happens in comics. You know, the thing is, it's not horrible that they're sparring and flirting. It's the way it's, excuse me, the way that it's written in the comic book is that he doesn't see where she's coming from. That's the whole point, is that she's a great martial artist, and so that she's striking from the shadows, he has no idea what's going on. Suddenly he's faced with this woman and he's like, wait, whoa, you know, because and it changes the dynamic.
I think we're talking about a different scene.
Well, hey, how you doing?
Aaron's talking about the scene at the playground.
See, that's what I'm saying is like, I've only seen certain parts of the movie because I didn't want to put myself through Ben Affleck. But what I've seen has been so horrifically changed from what the script I read was. Okay.
Are we going to blame MTV directors for this? I mean, filming all these rock videos, commercials.
I think it has to start off with. I mean, that's an element of it, but I think it has to start off with the script. I mean, you have to start off with the story.
What do you think about Superman?
The original Superman.
I think that is a great script and a great story.
The problem with that is it's too slow. It's like the first Star Trek movie. It's like...
I disagree completely.
For example, to me, the second Superman movie is the...
They're one movie, actually. Because he was shooting them together, and then he was taken off the film.
Well, okay. The second movie that everybody except for him knew about... is the best movie. And that should have been the only movie. I mean, it doesn't have the origin story. We know who Superman is. I mean...
You just hate origins.
No, I just don't... Like, for example, X-Men 2.
I actually agree with that.
I mean, sorry, X-Men.
The first one was a drama. A drama among superhero movies.
Right.
The second one became more of an action movie.
It became a comic book
movie. Yeah, it became more of a comic book movie.
If there was a comic book based off the first movie, it would be horrible. If there was a comic book based off of the second movie,
see, I disagree because I think that the inherent things about what's become great about comic books is that they are dramas. They do tell a humanistic story.
Well, that's fine.
Is, if it's a fight within a comic book, it lasts two pages. The rest, the reason why we do have these word bubbles and talk bubbles is because we're interested in the characters.
Yeah, but the second one had a great story arc. He falls in love. He battles somebody who's his who's stronger than him and outwits him. His own personal life tears him down. He wants to lead a human life, and that bites him in the butt at the end. I mean, so talk about drama. This is like the ultimate drama in the second one, and story arc crushes the first movie.
Well, I just think they're different genres.
Yeah.
I think they're hard to compare the two. The first one I'm saying is a very good drama.
I think most people would say the first or the second movie of Superman was better than the first. If you ask anybody.
I think it depends on what they're looking for.
Right.
I love
And I think that movie. Maybe
well,
that's
the same thing
maybe
about
that's
Star
a contributor
Trek.
With
they would say, some people would say, well, the first movie of Star Trek was better if you want straight science fiction.
Do they talk like that?
Yes, okay. But those people do.
But there are some movies that you do have
when
some broad agreement.
When he says those people,
okay,
you have to keep in mind he's wearing a Star Trek outfit as we talk.
He's actually dressed as a Klingon. You know, the makeup's fantastic, Aaron.
Thank you.
No, there are some movies that people do agree on.
Right.
Spider-Man 1 and 2, most people think were really good movies.
Really good. Right.
They think Spider-Man 2 was a little better, but they think they were really good.
And right. X-Men, just box office-wise, were amazing. Even though I have many problems with the first X-Men.
But the second one
the whole
was...
thing was an origin?
It's not that... No,
not really.
I have more of a problem of how it is.
What part of the story is an origin besides the last 5 minutes where you find out that the main story arc is he's going to take the girl and hook him up into a machine?
Xavier
That's
just exists.
It's not a... You don't see how every person comes to be.
Yeah.
No.
They're just brought in.
They're already as a
right.
team.
Oh, wow.
But for something like X-Men that has a strong geek following but not really mainstream following up to that movie... How do you avoid that?
But they didn't show you the origin of their powers. You were okay with everyone just having powers, right?
Yeah.
But why? So why did we have to just have them all meet?
Because we had to know what they are.
You can't do that.
You know, I think this is something really specific to you. Mm-hmm. I have to say,
yeah. I don't get muddles down the script.
You know what?
Like, I don't want to see 2 hours of handshakes and say, "Why don't we team up and strap on some clothes?"
I got to tell you, I love the Batman origin. I loved knowing a little bit about where he came from. I didn't think it hurt it.
I
love the Spider-Man origin. I
thought that was done well.
I had some problems with the X-Men movie, but they weren't about the fact that these people were coming together. Had nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, now, there are other movies that I have huge problems with. I have problems with Daredevil. I have problems with Catwoman. I have problems with Elektra.
Yeah.
You know?
And, as everybody does.
And again, you know, I think this comes down to, you know, we were talking about something last time. We talked about Star Trek, and we talked about what made Star Trek when it first started be really valuable, really interesting. And we talked about, you know, and this will lead over into something soon. Why Battlestar was becoming, in at least my opinion, kind of like what the old Star Trek was. It was actually addressing some real modern day issues.
Right.
Okay. Well, in the comic books, I mean,
so you're talking about comic books as allusions, basically, for larger social issues. The mutants as racism.
Well, I think that the reason that Batman was great was because it dealt with something serious. It dealt with two different sides of someone, you know, someone really conflicted. He's got two different personalities, okay, and it was something that had weight to it. You can do something with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that Spider-Man made a really smart choice. It went back to Peter Parker when he's 15.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
And so you see, what's it like if you're 15?
He's in college.
No, he's in high school.
In the first one.
In the first one, he's in
high school.
Oh. Yeah. The first one, he's a high school student.
Do you actually watch the movies, or do you just criticize them?
He's like,
I think he graduates over the course of the first movie.
He's like doing nuclear studies.
He's not a college professor.
They're going on a field trip to Columbia.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Okay. But the second one's in college.
He graduates.
Graduates. Oh, okay. So, but
there's a graduation scene. I mean,
there is?
Yes. Big graduation scene.
I only watch the special effects. Sorry.
And hence our problem.
I'm very sure he graduates in the first movie, by the way. So
I didn't
see... You had all these really good points, and then you just...
I didn't see Spider-Man 1.5, apparently you guys did, where he graduated. the great graduation movie.
Right.
The deleted
that part
scene.
Where we watch the movie, right. So anyway, Spider-Man deals with a kid who suddenly has these powers and really deals with it from a kid's point of view. I mean, like, you know, gosh, you know, I've got a girlfriend and my, you know, my mom or my Aunt Jane is, you know, like, I mean, all these issues, okay?
Right.
And so there's some weight to that. You know, I think that did something. Now, with X-Men, the thing that the reason the X-Men comic has always been so great is because what it's really dealing with is historical events through the lens of superheroes. So, for example, it's dealing with the McCarthy trials.
Right.
Through the lens of superheroes. The McCarthy trials
that's
being...
deep, man.
It is. It's exactly what it was.
Up front, the premise of the entire comic book.
That is...
Maybe I shouldn't have read those instead of Firestorm.
Yeah, well...
Checkmate. He's reading Checkmate.
You know, but really, you know, the McCarthy trials were witch hunts. You know,
absolutely.
And X-Men is basically about a witch hunt, but they're substituting mutants for communists.
Yes, right.
You know, and
some would say other minorities.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So these all have some weight and some value. Now you get to something like Daredevil. What is Daredevil about? It's about some blind dude, you know, who kicks people's asses. And so it doesn't have any weight.
Capable.
Well, yeah, you know, there's nothing there. And there's clever dialogue. You know, what was Catwoman about?
Well, Catwoman should have been about duality.
Should
Daredevil,
have been.
Daredevil is about a man who's constantly in pain.
I think Catwoman would be more about emancipation, but that's just me.
Okay, so let's talk really quickly about video games that are made that are based on comic books. Okay,
I demand an apology for Mario Brothers. That's all I want to say.
No. Sorry. Not movies that are based on video games, but video games that are based on comics.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that there's. You know, there are some examples of things that have actually been good.
Right.
Spider-Man. Is a great video game.
Great video game.
Actually, there's an X-Men.
X-Men Legends.
X-Men Legends.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
It's pretty good.
I enjoy it.
I gotta say...
Although I'm annoyed that they based that off of an obscure version of X-Men rather than the mainstream version.
Right.
It was cheaper.
Now, I think the main problem, though, is that most video games are tied to movie releases. And because they're tied to movie releases, they're not developing them until they're ready to go out. They're just simply trying to get something out so that they can sell it.
There is a new development in the video game industry right now where movie studios are developing the right to sue video game developers if the quality and sales of their video games are below standard.
Right. Warner Brothers says they're checking Metacritic, and if the rating isn't over 70, that they want money back from the video game
Which
developers.
Is only logical. They're damaging their franchise.
That is exactly true. That is exactly true. I mean, they should be... I mean, I don't understand why, if you spend these millions of dollars on the video game, why aren't you saying this is a quality product? I mean, I think that was the only good thing about the Final Fantasy movie, was that the quality control in terms of saying this movie needs to look a certain way. The design concepts in that movie were incredible.
Yeah, it looked great.
It looked beautiful. I mean, just down to the guns and the armor.
Right.
You know? But they had spent that much work on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't understand how it can be a half-assed job if you've got... you know, $65 million running towards the movie.
But see, in that aspect, it was the opposite. The video games did better than the movies.
Right.
Yeah, like Punisher. When Punisher went through the theaters, I don't know a single person who saw that movie.
Yeah,
it literally But I know a fair number of people who played the video game and gave it very good reviews.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
So shall we all just make one quick comment?
One suggestion to the movie industry on how to improve their movies based on comics.
Aaron.
Wait, somebody else go first.
I'll go first.
Don,
I'll go
first.
Okay. Can't take the pressure.
My suggestion will come to you in the form of a metaphor. Think on this. People like frosting, and they like cake. Special effects are frosting. Story, character development is cake. Don't hand me a big plate of frosting.
That's very good, Don.
Very deep.
Thank you.
Excellent. I would say... pay attention very specifically to a single element within the movie rather than 15 elements that we all need to jam in.
I would agree with that. Occam's razor. It's not Occam's?
No.
Occam's razor.
Geek license revoked.
Geek play.
Give me back your Star Trek insignia.
I agree. It needs to be boiled down. Pick one bad guy. Pick one plot line. Figure out what your movie is about and write to that. And don't worry about trying to jam it all in.
Yeah, on a similar note, I think that if you tell a good story and you tell a simple story and you tell it really well, you can make a lot of money. And that's what you need to focus on in terms of making money is telling a good story and telling it well.
Because they're heroes at the end of the day.
It's shoving... 15 superheroes into a story is not going to make you make more money in the long run.
I mean, you look at the Greek myths, and it's like Greek myths are like one at a time.
Give us our cake!
Okay, let's move on. You guys watch Battlestar Galactica,
yes.
The new series.
Yes,
I was a fan of the original. I have not given the second one a chance because I...
He's physically incapable.
Quickly, why should I TiVo this new Battlestar Galactica?
Why should Aaron TiVo?
Why should I watch this show?
Okay, first I have a question to start off. Are you just unwilling to watch it because it's not the old series?
No, but I'll tell you the reason why I'm not watching it. To me, Battlestar Galactica means certain things.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a different science fiction show.
Okay.
The great thing about the original Battlestar Galactica is it was a nod to Star Wars. We all know that.
Right.
So it has that flavor. Two, I really love that you always felt that these people were human brothers and sisters trying to meet up with their long lost, you know, family. They always talked about it. Their names always referred to it. Apollo, they were all the gods. They had helmets on that looked like Egyptian, you know, Egyptian gods. They always referred to the fact, there was always this thread that when you looked at it and you heard them, that you felt like they're ancient brothers and they were always trying to meet together. They were trying to find Earth. And when they found Earth, we were all going to have this great, you know, party, and they were going to be saved. To me, that was Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
Also, I love that opening music.
Was right, just and he's, the best. He's just...
But, okay, I'll give that up. That's fine. But to me, that's Battlestar Galactica.
The ragtag group of people trying to find their place called home.
If you do another show...
Ooh, do it again, fun. Do it again.
So, is that what they're doing now? Or is it another science fiction show where they tag Battlestar Galactica on?
No, what they have done, because everything that you just said, I think, is absolutely within this new series. And what I've seen, they've taken and expanded it out. Really kind of said, all right, not only are we going to talk about we're looking for Earth, because they haven't even gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is the reason why everything happened. This is the reason why we're on the Battlestar.
Right.
They gave them an origin story, truth to tell.
Well, the other one had an origin story. They got bombed out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cylons went after them, and they blew up their planet, and they're now, you know...
It's the same origin story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the exact same origin story.
It is, but it's a little bit more complex for a more sophisticated audience now.
Yes.
No, really?
No, it is.
No, well, listen, Aaron, one of the things that you're talking about is you're showing a great nostalgia and a love for even some of the cheese... From what you grew up with.
No, but I would totally give that up. I didn't like that.
But give up. But you talk about Starbuck being a girl.
But I'm okay with that.
But you talk about loving, you know, the Egyptian helmets.
The nod to that.
You talk about loving the music. You know, I mean,
which give that up.
Is also very dated at this point. You know, it really is specific.
It can be redone. I know your roommate is going to kill me when I actually meet him and we talk about it. But
wait, I'm just saying it's specific to that era. Now, look,
we can make him.
If you come to see the new Battlestar, okay, the first thing I have to say is
Is this a come to Battlestar meeting?
This is a come to Jesus meeting. Okay, it's come to Jesus.
Battlestar to, believes in you, Aaron.
All I'm saying is
Battlestar.
Come to Apollo. Okay, come to Apollo.
Okay.
No, really. If you see the new series, it's going to be different. It's going to be really different.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
And you have to know that.
Got it.
So the first thing you have to say is, okay, look, you know what? You always have the old series.
Right.
It hasn't gone anywhere. Everything that was great about the old series is still there because you still got it. You can
even
go back
Dirk
and watch
Benedict,
it.
Even Dirk Benedict, even though he did.
So Aaron, we'll always have Paris.
That's the name.
Okay. So that's the first thing. You always have it. But the second thing is that there's a lot of great writing in the new series. It's mm-hmm. different from what you saw before. You have to get past that. You have to expect to see something different.
One of the best written shows on TV right
yes.
now.
Okay. I mean, it's not a mistake that last year, Battlestar Galactica was the highest rated miniseries all year.
Right.
Okay. And
did you actually watch the whole miniseries, or you watched the first one, saw that the Cylons were human, and you went, oh, I'm out?
Yeah, kind of. No, I did a couple things.
Cylon heads on the front of the ship.
That's
Cylon ships.
The Cylon ship.
Design.
He's a design queen. You have to understand that.
No, you're right. There's some things that when I found out the Cylons were human looking, I went, okay, this is like having invisible bad guys because we couldn't afford Cylons.
That's
okay.
Not the case. You
they
should know
use
that.
Cylons all over the place.
Yeah,
the robotic ones.
Okay.
It's just they have new models. That's okay. All there is.
Yeah, they're robotic.
And they're not all hot chicks.
No. Although the one that is a hot chick is smoking hot. Okay. If you saw...
I have to make
one
other pitch.
Oh, my God.
One
if you
other
saw
pitch.
The last episode.
Oh, my Lord. I have to make one other pitch about this, okay? You watched Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
On Enterprise, you remember when they decided, okay, for something's not working here. Let's make it sexy, right?
Right.
So they kept having episodes where, like, someone would be crawling through an air vent.
What was with the
and
blue
And for
stuff
some thing? Reason, her jacket would catch on a yeah. nail, and she'd be yeah. naked by the time she got to the end.
Or, yeah, the decontamination
They'd be
chamber.
Greasing each other right. constantly for no apparent
I
reason.
I love right. the decontamination okay. chamber.
And for some reason, it still didn't actually make it sexy, did it?
No.
It was just like, okay, I see a big naked people running around, and I'm not even
I'm
vaguely
sorry,
excited.
Jolene Blaylock could sneeze, and I'd be like,
yeah, she's hot.
But yes. But it wasn't sexy. It yeah, was right. like, there's I mean, just flesh.
Right.
This show has moments where it's the sexiest thing I have seen on television.
Because it's, okay. yeah, because it's in structure. It's within the structure.
It's absolutely yeah. seductive.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Okay. Okay, that is a very okay. good. That's a very good.
That's good.
And it's done with class and style, so you're never like, you'd never be embarrassed to like watch it with your priest, you know? It's like,
right.
Oh, I would have been embarrassed to watch it with my priest.
Okay. Well, my priest and I have a very special relationship.
Okay. We can wrap this up. But give me some quick points that will make me turn it on.
So
the Cylons are not all human. Okay. They are. What makes that wonderful is that they're insidious. Okay. Is that they are a plant. We created them, mm-hmm. and basically they've come to a point where they, in order to take us out, they realize they need spies on the ground.
Right,
and that's what these guys are. Right. They're spies.
Okay,
and they've created a mystery. There are 12 models of Cylons.
It's going to be the next one,
and there's only 12. And we've only seen 3 or 4, so we know we're going to see like 8 more.
Right.
And so, who are the people on the show that are really Cylons?
Yeah, sometimes the Cylons don't even know that they're Cylons.
Okay.
And the Cylons can have human emotions, which makes it very interesting, something to explore. Now,
they don't always know they're Cylons,
right?
Oh,
for example,
now
a little Blade Runner ish.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay,
exactly.
It's also exploring issues that have to do with today.
Okay, that's all good. I'll put it on my TiVo. I'll give it a chance. We'll go over. I'll look at the new or the old episodes that you have on
Dinner at Peter's.
Dinner at Peter's.
Oh, it's going to be more than dinner. It's going to be a day because there's 8 episodes.
Oh, good gravy.
I'll watch them. I'd like to put out there some geek websites.
Okay.
I have 2 real quickly. Obviously, this isn't something that's good for a radio, so we'll just go through it real quickly. The first one of mine is the Federation of American Scientists. It's FAS.org. You can check this out on our show notes on our website, geekson.com. But this is a website that shows, that goes through every type of military operation, unit, ammunition, and to every single detail. You can use it to like watch the news with. It's also great for role players who want to convert weapons and vehicles into game stats. They have every single stat in there. It's great. And the other one, of course, this is, I think, one that you gave me. It's the Ships Dimensions.
Oh, good website. Very good
this
website.
Guy has taken every starship that is in every science fiction show and scaled them
to each other.
To each other.
From, so, who's the biggest? Well, the Death Star, probably.
No, they have a ring world.
Yeah.
One of the ring worlds, I think, is bigger than that. And a Dyson sphere.
I think as far as the actual just ships outright, I think it was the destroyers from...
The Imperial.
The Imperial Destroyers.
Oh, yeah. Right underneath. There's some other. I mean, there's some big. You got to check it out.
Barring Death Stars,
they start from like the space shuttle and they go up to.
That's
ring.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's an awesome site. Awesome site.
Anybody else have any they want
to
donate?
Yeah, I got a couple. One I actually is a request to find the name of the website, but it's for the 501st Legion, and they're a Star Wars costuming club that spans 21 countries, and basically they can make. Reproduce and invite you in to be a stormtrooper
cool.
with them.
You know, you can call them up if you're doing a fan movie. You call them up and tell them where to show up here in LA. I think they're in LA here.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's making one, and they'll show up with 20 stormtroopers for your movie.
Nice!
Yeah. But also in the geek issue of Mass Appeal magazine, they have this whole thing on how, like, which. Radio Shack recorders you can get so that you can put it inside your helmet so it says DK41, why didn't you write your post? Exactly. And so you can get that on the end of it.
You can't just go shh.
No, you can't. Yeah, exactly. You should just go shh.
Right, like that.
And the other one, I've been having serious problems on my computer with spyware. So I found this new site called auditmypc.com. www.auditmypc.com, and it goes in and it finds out everything that you're telling websites, and it tells you what all the holes in your security are. So,
nice. Anybody else have any websites?
I've got 2 quick ones. Comic book fans, those of you who love the artwork of Alex Ross, the man who did Kingdom Come and all those other wonderful watercolor comic books, go to alexrossart.com. Some of the most amazing comic book art online that you can find. All sorts of convenient wallpapers and stuff. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff for any geek to love. The other thing I have is just to bring a little funny to your day. Go to www.sluggy.com. That's S-L-U-G-G-Y. It's an ongoing online comic strip that's been going strong since 1997. That it's all geek humor in kind of a Burke Breathed, Bloom County sort of format.
What happened to the Not-So-Super Friends? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
It was the funniest thing in the entire world.
Where did you find that?
I'll find it for next time.
So Sluggy.com, give it a shot.
Okay, I actually have some kind of mainstream comic or mainstream film sites that most people will know about, but if you don't, these are great ones. Ain't It Cool News. It's a great sort of indie site to find out what's going on.
I just discovered that this week. I love that website.
It's a great website. You know, you can just sort of find all this sort of trivia news, what's happening. Another one is RottenTomatoes.com.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got to tell you, this is one of the most brilliant sites. I use it all the time. What they do is they take every single review that comes out, and they look at it and decide, is it a good review or a bad review? If it's a good review, they give it a fresh tomato rating. If it's a bad review, they give it a rotten tomato rating. And then they quantify it. And if it's over 60% good reviews, they call the movie fresh and say you should go see it. Now, let me tell you, it's pretty accurate. Most of the time, if it's over 60%, if it's around 60%, it's all right. If it's up around 70, 80, 90%, it's good. It's really good.
What was Constantine at?
Constantine was about 59%, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Just under the line.
Yeah, and then I'll have to check and see what it is now. But the other great thing about it is that they link to every one of the reviews. So when you go to a page on one of the different movies, when you go to a page on one of the movies, they'll give you short snippets, the best of, from the review, and then you can click on that snippet and you can see the entire review. And what's great also is you can click on reviewers that you like and see what movies they've liked in the past, which
Very
is really
cool.
useful.
That's nice. I like that.
And it reminds me of Metacritic.com, which lists like every
critic.
Metacritic, and it goes through every video meta. Games, DVDs, oh. movies, everything, music, and they list every review that they can find on the internet.
I don't like metas particularly.
Same thing.
That's very cool. Anybody else?
No, we're good.
That's good. All right,
well, that's it. I want to shout out to my friend Jason up in Seattle. He's feeling blue, and us geeks need to stick together, so, you know, a little geek nod to him up there. And our Xbox Live Sunday group is meeting for the first time this year, tomorrow, so on Sunday.
Rock it out.
I'll see you guys on Xbox Live.
Yo, I'd like to give a shout out to all my peeps in Brooklyn and...
You've never been to Brooklyn, have you?
Right. No, okay.
We're just not that street. I don't think we know how to do a proper shout out.
That's
I apologize on behalf of all of us.
All right.
I want to speak sort of loudly out to my family and friends.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Come back next week.
See you next week. Bye, Nana.